And that's talk.
Really, like, yeah, like by 6 o'clock, people are like, I haven't shit all day. I haven't eaten all day. I'm leaving. I don't care about anything anymore.
Welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode number 162, and I am your host, Matt.
I'm Ash.
And I'm Scott.
Yay!
Hey, everybody.
We almost do that smooth.
Almost. Still yeah, feels there. Weird. Still
it is weird. Weird.
It's when it fits, you feel it. It's a JCPenney. That's JCPenney's slogan, you guys. I did not make that up.
That's a slogan for JCPenney.
Yep. When it fits, you feel it.
It's feel it, God. That's,
yeah.
Oh,
chew on that for a second.
Oh,
so listen to this, guys. I was pseudo on another podcast this week.
What?
I submitted a question to ESPN's Fantasy Underground Football podcast, and they read my question on the show.
What?
Yeah,
that's
I was
amazing.
Super stoked. Huh?
What was your question?
It was a question about draft strategy.
Oh. Do you think they have more listeners than we do?
On ESPN, it's a safe bet. It is safe bet. I probably should have tweeted the question from the Nerd Appropriate account.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. We were dealing with Bank of America through the Nerd Appropriate.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
Oh, brilliant. I love it.
That was, I was about ready to lose my mind. I had like everything up here broke this week at the same time. Like, my computer was broken, my bank card got shut down, like, it was crazy.
You need neither a computer nor a bank card.
Yeah, there's only so much walking in woods that one can do before one goes completely crazy and starts to cannibalize people.
Oh my gosh.
Let's do the rundown.
There's a ton of news. There's a bunch of stuff happened in the news this week in sort of like in gaming and out of gaming and even in topics that we don't cover like politics. So we won't talk about that, but, it's been a week. So we'll talk about, so you guys are going to Comic-Con
this week.
So that's exciting. And, so you'll talk about the schedule for Comic-Con and then we'll talk about Kindle, Microsoft, Ubisoft, Nintendo, Weird Al, Destiny, Out There and Hearthstone. And then I'll talk a little bit more about Squid's Odyssey that I've been playing on the 3DS. And then we all picked up a Guardians of the Galaxy game, The Universal Weapon, for iOS.
Indeed.
Yeah. Which is weird because I don't think we talked about it together.
Well, yeah. The two of you picked it up through Kismet, and then I saw the doc and said, oh, well, I'll pick it up and play it.
Yeah.
So I picked it up. And the keywords were no internet connection required, so I got it immediately.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because you can play it on the subway.
Sweet. Well, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Audible.com is the premier provider of digital audiobooks. Audible has over 150,000 titles to choose from every genre, including thrillers, business, romance, comedy, sci-fi, comedy sci-fi, business romance, and comedy thrillers.
I would love to read a business romance book.
Me too.
It's yeah. 50 Shades of Grey, right? That guy wears a tie, I think. I don't know. I don't know what business is. Audible
no
titles play on iPhone, Kindle, Android, and more than 500 devices for listening anytime, anywhere. And you, our dear listener, and we know there's still some of you out there who haven't done this, can go get a free audiobook right now if you go to www.audibletrial.com/ratedNA. You'll get a free audiobook to listen to, and they're fun to listen to, and you'll help out the podcast in the same moment of your life. One moment, two results.
And your help is very much appreciated because as we established earlier, we do not have as many listeners as podcasts on ESPN do.
That's true.
So close.
And if you find a good business romance book, please tweet it to us and we'll talk about it the next podcast.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh,
well,
yeah.
Not the next one, like in 2 weeks maybe.
2 weeks, yeah.
So, Scott, what have you been doing?
So, you guys hey, hear about this Wolfenstein?
How do your mother for me?
You guys hear about this Wolfenstein guy? Yeah, so I picked up Wolfenstein, The New Order.
I saw it was on sale.
It was on sale. It's been on sale everywhere, and I think that's partially because of QuakeCon going on.
Ah,
yes. Yeah.
It is great, as you guys have already established. It's very good. Having a lot of fun with it. Yeah. I appreciate that there are sort of longer form missions and then sort of shorter in between missions that tell more of the story of what's going on. And I think that sort of the intimate nature of the smaller missions kind of pull you into the story a little bit more, especially. So I just played the part where you get to the parents' house of the person that helps you escape.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you go down into the garage and interrogate somebody. I don't want to spoil too much of it, but I thought that was really cool. I thought that was a really great scene to sort of engage the player in the game. It reminded me of things that happen in like BioShock Infinite, sort of the more intimate moments of first-person shooters. So I'm having a lot of fun with that.
There's a lot of that, too, in that game. So you'll, you know, you spend a lot of time with the supporting cast of that game.
I got a little bored with the, hey, can you go get this thing over there and bring it to me over here?
Oh, yeah.
And that happens a lot on the secondary stuff, I feel like. But
There also, is a little bit of the fetch going on.
How did you beat this game in 12 hours, Ash? Did you just not die like the entire time you were playing it? I think I've played like 30 hours already, it feels like. And I have definitely died many, 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 many times. So,
well, I'm really, really good at first-person shooter.
Jesus.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I plowed through it pretty quickly, but I think it gets to a point where things do speed up a lot, and there's less of the fetchy kind of stuff from the midway point on.
Yeah.
So it does speed up a bit, and I got really into the story, so I wanted to see, you know, what was going to happen next. So it's I played very quickly.
Scott, you haven't hit it yet, but it gets very meat grindy at certain points where you're like basically just put into like a really hard.
Yeah.
Room. And then they're like, you're going to die. And then you die. And then you come back and you play it again.
I did see some of it. I think that maybe like in your style of play, I try to be as stealthy as possible when the game allows me to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously there are points in the game where all the enemies know where you are. And then it's just time to pull out the dual shotguns and just kind of mow them down.
Right.
Which is weird. You know, that's weird. But I realize that I'm playing that game and not a different game. This is not like Dishonored. I know that. There will be points in this game where I'm just supposed to pull out the weapons and just, you know, turn everybody to mush.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's fun. I'm having a lot of fun with that. It's great. I might actually, depending on how long this game is and where I wind up, I might actually go back through and try to get all of the collectible items.
There's a lot of stuff in there, too.
Enigmas and all that stuff.
Yeah, because a lot of it shows up on the map. So I think that, you know, in between what shows up on the map and what you need to find on your own, there's not too many things left over. So I might...
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Since this game's been out for a while, what decision did you make in the beginning on who to save from the Nazis in the beginning of the game? Did you save the old guy or the young guy?
I saved the older gentleman.
Okay. I think we all did that. But if you, I went through a second playthrough, and if you save the younger guy, the game's a bit different. So
really?
It actually changes up who some of the people. Oh, you haven't gotten to the safe house yet, but you'll get to like a base.
No, I have. Yeah, I did. Oh, okay. Get there. Yeah,
it changes up who some of the people in the safe house are, and some of the stories are different. So it creates an alternate timeline, which I thought was really cool.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's worth a second playthrough then.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So I've also been playing Squid's Odyssey and Guardians of the Galaxy: The Universal Weapon, and we'll talk about that later. And then. My wife and I are still watching Battlestar Galactica.
Nice.
And I'm really
stoked. How far in are you guys?
We are on like season 2, episode 8 or 9.
When it's still really good.
Yeah, correct. That is factually correct. We finished the first season, started watching a couple episodes of the second season. And I kind of just like, that's when I broke it down to my wife. I was like, look, like the show's great. We're having a great time. I'm just letting you know that gets a little squirrely in the middle and the ending is kind of weird, but like it's more about the journey than the destination. So I just want you to have fun with it. We'll keep watching it. She's like, okay, yeah. I got it.
You know? Prepare yourself. Right.
Yeah. So I kind of, she's like, is it going to be like what, like Lost or something? And I was like, maybe, you know, like kind of weird like that, but not so bad. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there you go. So Ash, what is up, man?
I'll start off with the boring story, and I'm going to keep it under 60 seconds because nobody wants to hear me bitch about installing a new operating system. But have either of you guys ever reinstalled a Mac OS like from the ground up?
So I installed Mavericks on top of. Did you erase your old OS? You didn't just install it over top?
Oh, I was going to just install it over top, but something catastrophic happened.
What did you do?
My short version is I didn't do anything. There's a well-known bug, I guess, with installing Mavericks, and it'll say that your hard drive is corrupt, and it'll stop the installation process completely. And basically, your system gets caught in like an endless loop where it can't really do anything because it sees your hard drive, your old hard drive, is being corrupt with the old OS on it. So the long story short, I had to jump through about a gabillion hoops and actually go into, type in all this crazy code and do all this crazy stuff. And I had to buy a solid state hard drive and external in order to like move files around because I had all the stuff that I didn't want to lose. Had to format my hard drive. But it's running now. It took me about 4 days of canoodling.
I thought this was supposed to be the worst. Foolproof and magical.
Oh my God. I was like one of the, like, well, I mean, okay. I didn't do anything wrong, but for some reason, something happened during the installation process that just fucked everything up.
Okay.
So it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I blame you, Apple.
I feel like Ash is prone to these quirks, I will call them, of technological behavior. Mm. For whatever reason, I don't know if it's... You do have a weird fear of technology in certain ways, I feel like, maybe? New technology?
Yes, I do.
And I think that spurs you into being the guinea pig for these problems. Because I installed Mavericks and it was like, click button two more times. You're on Mavericks. And I was like, yay!
Yeah. That did not happen for me. My process was probably over 25 hours of of pain.
Jesus,
but
man.
So that was not fun.
You should have tweeted them. They probably would have tweeted you back.
They probably would have. I'm not even going to talk about that other bullshit. But, I've been watching Vikings, which is awesome.
What is that?
The history show?
Vikings is a series, put out by the History Channel, and it's their first really big like live action series that they've been doing. And it follows the Vikings arriving in England for the first time. And it's awesome. It's like, kind of Game of Thronesy, heavy on the action, heavy on the violence. There's nudity. I don't know how they do that on History Channel, but they show all sorts of butts and crotches and stuff. Butts and crotches. But Vikings has been great. We're almost done with the first season, so that's cool. I also downloaded Guardians of the Galaxy, the Universal Weapon. And while I don't want to ruin the review, I do have to say I love the inclusion of the music from the trailer.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious. It made me laugh. I know. When you win a level, it does the awesome song. And I've been preparing for Comic-Con, which has been kind of a little crazy this year, but I'm excited for it. So,
is it like a training montage?
That will be coming up soon.
Like Hearts on Fire?
It's a little bit like a training montage. It is. Just because it's juggling many, many an email and trying to get my schedule to make sense. And I'm just really lucky that I know where everything is. Because like when you're setting up appointments and they're like, oh, this is at this hotel and this one's like in this room. You're like, can I actually make it there in this time? If I didn't know that, everything would have been fucked. So at least I have like a relatively decent logistical knowledge of.
After 10 years of going to Comic-Con, you finally know how to get from room to room.
I kind of know where places are. Yeah, it's
You've
a pretty big
unfucked
place.
Unfucked your schedule.
Yes. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess it's still pretty fucked. But
all right.
But Matt, what are you doing?
I've been watching or rewatching. Well, I guess watching and rewatching some nerdy shows with Melissa. She's been binge watching Supernatural and Warehouse 13. So I have to say I enjoy Supernatural quite a bit. I think I said this last podcast, but we're five seasons in or four seasons in at this point.
Oh.
And it's cool. It started out very goofy and X-Files-ish, like Buffy mixed with X-Files, and it's turned into this like really dark, kind of violent show with this huge kind of premise behind it. Towards the fifth season. So what's baffling about it is from where they are right now, I have no idea how they're going to hit season 10, which they got greenlit. So I don't know. 10. I don't know where they go from here, essentially.
See, that's why I can't ever watch the show because that's way too daunting of a task.
It's a lot of show.
10 seasons.
Too many seasons.
Fuck, crazy.
But it's all on Netflix, man. You know,
you just
sit down and watch it. But it's the first four seasons are really great. The fifth one has been really awesome. It's just, like I said, very dark, very violent, and we really, Melissa and I keep trying to guess where this show is headed, and we cannot figure out for the life of us how you go from the current villain to anything after this. I don't even know. So, and then she's been watching Warehouse 13, which I've previously watched, but she's really enjoying it, and I still love rewatching it. Those, I don't know if you went further, Scott, but the whole team, once they've assembled the full team, is really awesome and fun. So I still love that show.
I think we're going to give it another shot after BSG.
Yeah. And then still playing Hearthstone for unknown reasons.
Do you play like the ranked matches, or do you play the...
I play only ranked or arena now.
Oh, wow. So you're all pro.
No, not at all. I mean, I'm not like super great at it, and I'm really impatient, so I'll quit out of games when people are taking too long. Like, I can't. I just like, I sit down to play because I have like 5-10 minutes to play, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I'll play, you know, a round of ranked, and I'll get in there. And usually, the ranked ones I've noticed are faster than the unranked ones. But every once in a while, you get one that you can tell somebody's not paying attention, and you're just like, come on, man. Like, I really wish there was a "this guy has timed out twice" or something button, let me leave this match. Like, I don't want to sit here and wait, you know, 4 minutes for his turn to end. So
don't people do that just to get victories?
Sure. Probably. Like, I'm sure they do.
Like, bait you.
But you know what? Like,
a sandwich. You're like, oh, this guy, I'll quit out.
But it's a video game with no reward for it at the end of the day. So I don't really care if I don't get all the points and have 87 stars. It doesn't really matter to me. I'm just playing for fun. I'll quit and let him have his win, because I'd rather quit and be sane than wait around and be, you know, anxious and angry the whole time. So other than that, you know, a bunch of other stuff going on, but nothing nerd related. Work is crazy. I've been working very long days, but I'm looking forward to going to Comic-Con, and I like to think of it as my 2-day San Diego vacation with 5 days of insanity packed in between those two. I get there exactly really early Tuesday. We're going to probably like hang at the pool and just relax and have a drink. And then we stay late, because that's the real secret to Comic-Con, is staying a day extra. Yeah. And we're going to relax. And I don't know, there's talk of different vacation spots we might try to hit as a group, I think. But, And then you leave. So you really get these 2 days of kind of like, you know, wind down before the middle 5 days of just absolute insanity.
The calm before the storm.
Yeah. It's like nothing. I keep thinking about how when I went to, because a bunch of my coworkers went to Google I.O. as well. And they talked about how many people were there. And they were like, oh, there were so many people. And I was like, how big was it? And they're like, I don't know. I think they said 6,000.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I was like, oh. And they're like, why? And I'm like, I'm broken. Like, Comic-Con is a lot of people. And they're like, how many people does Comic-Con have? They're like, I went to New York. You know, it's really packed. I'm like, New York has about 80,000, I think, 60 to 80. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, San Diego has 125. And they're like, oh, my God. I'm like, yes. An entire city moves into San Diego for 5 days. Like, it's insanity into an already populated city. Yeah. So
it's total craziness.
Should be fun, though. I'm excited. I'm ready to take a break. But speaking of Comic-Con...
Yeah?
News! Let's speak about Comic-Con.
Oh, okay. What cool. A natural transition that was.
It was very natural. Excuse me. I'm dying here. We are going to be covering some Comic-Con stuff, and while... a lot of it is kind of up in the air. We are going to have a bunch of interviews. There's some kind of, we're going to have some old guests on, and I'm setting those up. I don't want to announce who they are yet, but people that have been on the show before in some capacity that have been cool enough to keep in contact with us. We're going to have them on. So we'll have recordings of them. And, you know, I'm kind of wanting to set it up and talk to them not only about their projects, because obviously that's mainly why they come on, but also about, you know, Comic-Con in general, and maybe their first time ever going, what that was like. Because, you know, your first time at Comic-Con is so overwhelming and crazy that I really like to hear people's first time stories. I know that sounds kind of perverted, but I love to hear those. So we're going to be talking to old guests about their first time at the convention. And I'm just going to go through some of the stuff that I wrote down. And Matt, if you want to chime in with some of the stuff that you wrote down that you're excited about, that would be cool too. But on Thursday, the first panel I'm planning on hitting up is for The Witcher. A big fan of The Witcher, and they have a panel. Yeah, they have a panel really early at 10 o'clock in the morning. So I'll probably on Thursday morning, you know, march on down to the convention center pretty early and check out what the Witcher has going on. And then Thursday, honestly, I kind of planned Thursday to be more of a floor day. so I want to kind of march around the floor and see what everything's like down there, because the Comic-Con floor is unlike anything you'll ever experience ever. Because it's, you know, if you go to any convention, they have, you know, merchants and things like that. But I would say there's, I don't know, hundreds, if not thousands of different booths with all sorts of different independent artists and signings and just craziness going on. Well,
there's got to be at least 100 rows, right? Like across.
Yeah. I mean, it's massive. It's humongous. You can't see from one end to the other.
No. Sounds like it's impossible to do in one day.
It is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, basically, you pick signs that are hanging in the air that are super high and gigantic, and then you use those as reference points for everybody that you're talking to.
Oh, wow.
I'm near the Marvel sign. And you're like, which side? And I'm like, between Marvel and DC. And it's like the two biggest signs in the thing. Because otherwise, you'll just never find anybody.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. So there is a community panel in ballroom 20, which is a pain in the ass to get into, and that's at 2 o'clock, and I'm gonna see, you know, I don't know, I probably won't get into that because it's in ballroom 20. But
are we gonna line that? Are you and I gonna, you know, bring our sandwiches and get in line there or no?
I don't know yet. It depends on how much fun I'm having on the floor. If I'm like, the floor is too crowded, then maybe I'll make my way up to ballroom 20 and see if I can get in. But the thing for those folks listening, you know, if you want to get into ballroom 20 at like 2 o'clock, you'd have to go at like 10 o'clock.
10, yeah. You have to basically like, go when the floor
opens. Or
like
11. Yeah, 10 or 11. And then maybe you'll get into ballroom 20. So it's kind of a, you know, a bit of a clusterfuck.
If you want to get into Hall H, just don't worry about it. You're not going to get into Hall H. Just give up on it now.
Yeah.
If you want to get into Hall H, get in line during preview night.
Yeah, right.
Hey, at least you don't have to get a hotel room. You just camp out. Tent.
Yeah,
that's true. Sunset Overdrive has a panel at 5 o'clock, and that's in a smaller room, so that one should be pretty easy to get into. I'm obviously pretty excited for Sunset Overdrive, and so they're going to be showing some game stuff off there for that, and that'll be cool. There's a Goonies panel. I don't know if you guys saw this, but there's a Goonies panel supposedly with cast members, and that's in the Indigo Ballroom, so I don't know how hard that is going to be to get into. But it's a little bit later. Usually the later panels, people get like exhausted and have to take a shit and stuff, so they leave.
Really,
by 6 o'clock, people are like, I haven't shit all day. I haven't eaten all day. I'm leaving. I don't care about anything anymore.
Yeah.
And so that panel is at 6 o'clock when people will probably be doing that. Problem conflict number one here is there's also a Star Wars Rebels panel at the same time. That's also at 6 o'clock in a smaller room, so that's kind of cool. What else? Oh, I got invited to do a press thing, a round table for the show Hannibal, which I don't watch.
Oh, good.
But, it's actually pretty good, though.
I know, but I know a lot of our listeners love and watch Hannibal, and it's, you know, getting a lot of great reviews and stuff, so... I have a thing for that, which I'm kind of excited about. So I'm going to have to read like every Hannibal wiki in the world and just be a poser when I go to this.
You should probably like watch maybe an episode or two at least. It is visually different than many other episodes. So
I will try and consume at least one episode before I go. And I hate that I haven't watched it, but honestly, dude, there's too many shows. Like, I just can't. Like, there's just too much right now.
TV is taking over.
I mean, there's every single like cable network, like TNT, History, they all have shows now. So it's like, I don't know, you would have to just give up everything and just watch these shows all the time. So that's pretty exciting. Anything, you have anything on Thursday, Matt, that you're stoked about?
I usually do floor on Thursday. But I might try to do the community panel. I know Marissa Meyer is having a panel, and I think Melissa's going to go do that. But I usually leave Thursday is usually my like let's figure out, but I've never done preview night either, so I may do preview night and then decide that Thursday I don't need to do floor day. Who knows?
Cool. Preview night will be fun. It's super crowded, but it'll be fun.
And then I was just informed that Teen Wolf is also on Thursday. By an external voice, and that Melissa and Christina will be doing Teen Wolf, which follows the community panel in Ballroom 20. So,
Maybe they'll be in Ballroom 20.
Yeah,
doing the Teen Wolf thing. I guess there's a Thursday night thing too for MTV that Christina was talking about, maybe going to like a party with Teen Wolf or something. So maybe the girls will be partying with Teen Wolf and I will be sleeping like a grandpa in my bed. Friday is my crazy day. I don't want to get too much into it, but I don't know, something weird happened this year and they actually invited us out to like some of the bigger things. So I'll be covering like Kingsman and Hitman Agent 47, Let's Be Cops, Book of Life, Maze Runner, Dragon Age, Horns, and it's basically like all back to back, and it's like pressers and round tables and all sorts of crazy shit like that, which I'm not really prepared for.
That Horns looks crazy.
Yeah, that one I'm excited because it's, you know, Joe Hill who did Lock and Key, and it's Alex Aja who did Descent and like High Tension and like a lot of those horror movies that I really love, and that one's like a smaller roundtable interview with like six or seven people, so I'm really pretty stoked about that, and I think that's going to be super fun. Anything for you on Friday, Matt? You have your Friday stuff ready to go?
So Friday I'm looking at possibly doing a couple of the Conversations for a Cause. The Let's Be Cops is one of them, and I think Nick and Coach are very funny people, so I have a feeling that that might be pretty awesome. And then there's a comedy duo that Melissa and I both love called Garfunkel and Oates that have a show on IFC soon. Really cool. But we might try to do those two. I was telling Melissa, I was like, you know, Friday's kind of that hump day in Comic-Con where it's like you're in the middle of the con and usually you're already kind of like blown out by how many people are there, and so I might need a nice little break, and that's what Nerd HQ usually is. So if I can get those tickets, we'll probably be doing that.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. And I know Geek & Sundry has a lot of their own programming this year, too.
Yeah.
And they took over the old place where Nerd HQ used to be. I think it's called Jolton Joe's.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So Geek & Sundry took over the bar, so we can go back there, too.
It's a much better place than the one they were in last time. They were like in a like hot attic last time, and it was cool, but the bar is way more open and kind of nice. So,
yeah. My Saturday's pretty laid back at this point. I got a couple interviews with old people that have been on the show, which is cool. And then the big one, obviously, that everyone is excited about is Mass Effect, and that's at 2 o'clock. So there's a Future of Mass Effect panel with a lot of the producers and things like that, which will be cool.
Yeah.
And I plan on working my way into that one. And the other one really on Saturday that I'm excited about, obviously, because you guys know I'm a Twin Peaks fan. They're actually having a 25th anniversary Twin Peaks panel for that Blu-ray. So that'll be cool. And I'll have some of the cast members there.
Sweet.
And that's it for Saturday. I'm kind of glad my Saturday is a little bit more chill because Friday might break me. So. That's awesome.
Saturday for me, there is a Saga panel.
Ooh, cool.
And I may try to go to that. The problem is that it's at 1 and Mass Effect's at 2.
Ooh, ouch.
So I don't know if I'll be able to do both. I may have to make the tough decision between Saga and Mass Effect. But
it's hard.
Yeah, those two things are Saturday. There's not a ton else that I saw on Saturday for sure. So it might be a little easier. But I feel like those days, Saturday and Sunday, are usually when I kind of wander into panels. Like it's like a room that has no line, and then I walk in and it's like cartoon voices or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. You know, those are always fun. So,
isn't it weird to think that in a space that has 125,000 people attending, that there will be rooms that you can just walk into at some point in time?
Dude, I cannot. I try to explain Hall H to people, like just in general, and I'm like, okay, so it's a room that was it hold 10,000 people or something like that.
Oh, it's huge.
It's a big room.
Yeah, it's something huge, yeah.
And then there's another probably couple thousand people just in line, just standing outside in line at all times every day. And then room 20 is like about half or three quarters that. Including the line is like equally as long, and then Indigo Ballroom holds a few thousand people, and its line is equally as long usually every day. So it's just like there's three or four main rooms that they pack all the big name stuff into, and those consistently have thousands of people at them. So
yeah.
And then the floor has to hold, I can't even guesstimate how many people the floor holds, and it is almost always wall to wall people.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It's one of crazy. One of these years are just going to move Hall H to like Qualcomm Stadium and be like, everybody file in.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. I mean, and the thing that's interesting about Comic-Con, and we've talked about this before, is that they don't clear the rooms. So it's one of the only cons where, like, once you get your seat, if you're diligent enough, you can hold on to that seat all day. Like,
all
if you get a Hall H seat, like front row seat, that's your seat. You get it for the whole day.
So it's that's like that episode of Community where they build the they play Hot Lava, you know?
Yeah.
You just build the forts out of the chairs and the blankets and stuff.
I mean, that's how we met. I mean, That's how we saw How I Met Your Mother. That's how I met the mother. And Melissa and I just camped that room like basically all day. I think we were there. We got in line at like 7 in the morning or 6 in the morning, and we left the room at, I think, 3 or 4 maybe. And that was for mostly for How I Met Your Mother. And we ended up seeing a bunch of other things in the process, because you just kind of end up seeing whatever panels are there. And that was Indigo Ballroom. I felt so bad too, because there was a mom with her kids. Like, let's say How I Met Your Mother was at like 1. A mom with her kids like came up at like 12:30 and was like, "Is this for How I Met Your Mother?" And they were like, "It is, but the line is all the way outside." And she was like, "Oh my god!" And I felt really bad. She had like two kids who were probably big fans, and all these nerds had camped out since 6 a.m. to
just
get into
didn't
things.
Know, yeah,
so.
Yeah.
It's a tough lesson.
Craziness.
Yeah.
So what else?
Sunday is kind of kids' day.
Yep.
So there's not a ton of programming that really is. You know, all that. I don't want to say all that exciting, but all that, you know, for me.
Is there an all that panel?
There probably is an all that panel.
Probably is.
For kids.
But I do have a cool interview lined up, and it's funny enough, it's for Lego Batman 3 Beyond Gotham, but it's with the voice cast, and it's like Troy Baker and Laura Bailey, Dee Bradley Baker. Basically, like, some of my favorite voice actors are all in this game. And I've actually been playing the Lego Marvel Super Heroes a lot this summer with my wife. We've been co-oping it.
Cool.
It's so much fun. So I'm actually really excited to talk to these guys. And, you know, Troy Baker is the voice of, like, everything right
everything.
Now. Everything. So he's voicing Batman in this game. And, of course, you know, he's Last of Us and basically every major game in the past, like, 2 years. He's
it's
been
like
the
if
voice
it's not
of
if it's not Troy Baker, it's Nolan North. It's just the two of them, like, all the
absolutely.
Male voices.
Yeah. Right, right. And so that'll be fun. And then the major conflict is there is all these panels that I want to see happen at the same time. So there's a Tarantino panel that's also at 2 o'clock, and there's the Console Wars panel, which is about this book
that.
About
yeah.
yeah, and that's also at 2 o'clock, and there's a Nerdist News panel also at 2 o'clock. So I'm going to have to kind of do a toss of the coin to decide where I'm going to go there. But Sunday also pretty laid back at this point, which I'm excited about. So
there is a Sunday does Marvel does the next big thing panel.
Ooh.
At 12:30. And I was thinking about doing it because there is lots of universe changing stuff that Marvel's doing. So I might go see it. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh yeah. We're going to add that to the news right now too.
Oh yeah. That's exciting stuff. Cool. Well, that's, I mean, you know, obviously we're going to have a lot more Comic-Con coverage coming your way, but just kind of taking a brief look at the schedule, we should definitely have a whole lot to talk about in the coming weeks. So
yeah,
hang in there.
Would we decide that you guys are also going to do dailies like we do for PAX, and then we will put that out probably next week for like a sort of live on the spot podcast?
Yeah.
Yep. So look out for that. And then I would like to pimp the very excellent article that you wrote for nerdappropriate.com where you detail 10 tips for Comic-Con as a Comic-Con veteran.
Yes, I did 10 new tips this year, because I've been doing these like these tips, lots of tips articles and for Comic-Con.
Oh man.
These are 10 brand new juicy tips.
You're going to get to this punchline eventually.
There's a punchline?
Yeah, somewhere in here. About. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so I'll be putting that out. You know, it'll be out by the time you guys hear this. So definitely check that out. How to survive at the Comic-Con. Become
Indeed.
The master.
ton of news. So where do we start? Let's start with something that we just alluded to, which was big changes in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
The part of Captain America will now be played by the Falcon.
Yeah.
And Thor is going to be a woman.
And?
And?
The Killing Wolverine.
Oh, really? I did not hear that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So where would you guys like to start? You guys are the comic book dudes on this show, so...
I will start with a little tale. Ash wrote me a little while ago and said, I heard they're going to kill off the X-Men and Wolverine. Have you heard anything from your Marvel friends? So I started like covertly asking around. And the only thing I heard was they're moving a lot of the top tier editors off of the X properties and onto other things. And they were putting like kind of like newbies onto the X properties and not really saying anything about it. So, and then they announced Death of Wolverine, all these big changes and all this stuff. And the rumors that circulate are, well, Ash, do you want to say the rumor, the one that you'd heard?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
That, basically they are trying to wait out Fox to get the X properties back for the movies. And they're just going to stop creating content.
Yeah.
That is the rumor. They're just like, fine, you want the properties? Go ahead and have them. We're going to give you no free content from here on out. And just
absolutely. So they're basically just saying, like, you know, we want the X properties back, but we can't legally get them back now. So what we're going to do is just stop making X books, you know, and make them not really part of the zeitgeist anymore. So people aren't excited about Wolverine. They aren't excited, you know, and then eventually when they get those properties back, bring them back. But it's a really bold plan. I don't know if it's true, but
yeah, we don't know.
I've been kind of hearing
unsubstantiated.
I've been hearing it kind of just through the nerdy grapevine, but you know, killing Wolverine off is a huge first step.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Although they do these death of titles, you know, every probably few years, every 5 to 7 years, maybe, you know, Captain America ate it about 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. So this isn't totally abnormal. This could just be part of the norm, and all this stuff could just be happening because this is what they're doing. They're just trying to support their billion-dollar properties, which are Avengers, probably soon to be Guardians, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, and the other thing with changing these characters, who's playing these different characters around, is interesting because now it's not just the comic book universe they're supporting, right? They're trying to figure out how they can shift actors, I think, as well in movies, because these actors won't be the characters that they are right now forever. So how do they handle that in the books? Can they lead up to it, sort of thing? You know,
it's a huge cast at this point too.
Huge, yeah, humongous.
Yeah, but what Matt said makes a lot of sense because they are thinking of the future of the cinematic universe at the same time because they are kind of working hand in hand. You'll see, you know, little bits and pieces of the cinematic universe all throughout the books and vice versa. So it's really interesting because let's just talk about Captain America quickly. But, you know, the storyline that they're putting into Captain America is that the super soldier serum in Steve Rogers eventually, like, dries up. And he finally ages and becomes, like, a 90-year-old man. And obviously, as a 90-year-old man, he can't be Captain America. So his best friend and sidekick, Sam Wilson, who's the Falcon, you know, puts on Captain America's outfit or a new version of the outfit and becomes Captain America to kind of honor his image, which is, I think, great. I think that's super, super fucking cool. And I think he's the best person for the job, if not Winter Soldier, you know what I mean?
Because
he's
still Colbert.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Well, they did the Winter Soldier thing already in the books.
Oh,
yeah, in the books.
Died. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, I think that's great. I don't really ever have a problem with this kind of change out of characters or a refresh of line. Like, you know, it happens. Sometimes it sucks. Sometimes it's awesome.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, the tie-ins with the movies. And I will say that Kevin Feige and Joe Quesada are two very, very smart gentlemen who have brought Marvel from the brink of failure, essentially, all the way back to being one of the most important creative properties probably right now, you know, in the world, just about, that, with how much money they pump out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think they do things for a reason. The Thor being a woman thing, I didn't read too much into that. All I saw was the pictures getting circulated. Did you guys read anything about it, like, well, how it's happening? Or
I have a question for you guys, sure. I guess, and maybe you can help me understand. I've seen generally two reactions to this online, and one reaction is, hey, that's awesome. That looks pretty cool. Like, you know, we think either Katie Sackhoff or Brienne of Tarth should play this role because that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other reaction is not like, oh, we don't want this because it's a woman. It's like people like seems like the comic book fans are saying, I thought Thor was the name of a person. It's like if this guy's name is like Thor Smith or whatever, how can you then make someone else Thor Smith? You see what I'm saying?
No, right. Yeah, I know exactly what you're
so
saying.
I think there's some, it's not like we don't want this. It's like, I'm confused. I thought Thor was his name. So how can there be a different Thor? Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what I've seen. So I wanted to get your kind of like thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, you're a bigger Thor fan. So go ahead.
Thor is his name. You know, he's the son of Odin, you know, brother of Loki. He's Thor. But there is also an inscription on the hammer that says, you know, it says, he who holds the hammer shall possess the power of Thor. So while, you know, Thor does something, I guess, so bad that he is unworthy of the hammer, and then the next person to pick it up is a female, well, she will become the god of thunder, who is Thor, but she'll probably have her own name.
Okay.
You know, like, and Thor will almost be like her superhero name. So she'll be like, you know, Carol Smith, and then that probably won't be her fucking name, but yeah. Then she'll possess the power of Thor. But Thor himself is Thor. It's just kind of like arguing semantics, you know,
yeah.
Like, who really gives a shit in the end? But and I see what people are saying.
The writer Jason Aaron said, this is not She Thor. This is not Lady Thor. This is not Thorita. This is Thor. This is Thor of the Marvel Universe, but it's unlike any Thor we've seen before. So
I thought that was a good statement to make to really clear up, you know, sort of internet frustration or something, you know, right on the spot.
Yeah. But like Matt said, it also opens it up for the movie franchise. I mean, because, you know, Chris Hemsworth and who the fuck, who's Captain America?
Chris Evans.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, their contracts are up relatively soon after their next movie.
So,
you know, like, they're going to need to bring new people in, and it's going to be a lot easier to fill those shoes with something radically different than, like, you know, another big, strong white guy, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, and the thing about Thor, I think in the movie series, I think Thor is easier to explain the switch because of the hammer, you know, like they can logic out, like, Thor gets removed from the position or dies or whatever. And, you know, a woman becomes, like, I think that's logically possible. The semantics aside, like you said, Ash, but Captain America, they really do need story set up, because I think it's weird for people to understand that Captain America, while it is a person and was a single person for a very long time, is also really just supposed to be the symbol of, like, American patriotism. Mm-hmm. So, like, somebody taking up his banner of American patriotism in that symbol is, again, logical, but I think less comic book explain away ish. Do you know what I mean? Whereas Thor, you can kind of be like, the hammer goes to somebody else. This is how it works. Deal with it, everybody.
Magic, yeah.
Yeah, Captain America's kind of like, and then this person decided to be Captain America. It's like, well, then why aren't there 50 Captain Americas? But, you know, I think it's a good move. I was actually a little surprised, because if it is a setup for the movie, they did already set it up for the movie, and they seem to already be pushing towards something with the movies. But which we kind of alluded to earlier, but I don't need to ruin for everybody.
Sure.
If you want to know, go read Civil War, the Marvel series, and you'll know everything that's probably going to happen in the movies coming up. Unless they're really like Falcon.
Last question. Who are you going to cast as Thor, the female version?
Oh, man. Since I have been watching Vikings, there is a female S.H.I.E.L.D. maiden in Vikings played by an actress, a Canadian actress called Catherine Winnick. Mm-hmm. And she's probably one of the most badass, like, female characters I've seen on screen in a really long time. Catherine Winnick also is like a third degree black belt or something like that in real life. So she's like an actual ass kicker.
Cool.
So she would be, to me, like, when I think of Thor, and I saw the announcement, like, as I was watching Vikings, and I was like, oh, like, there she is right there, playing like this Viking character. So that's, like, instantly the one that came to my head was Catherine Winnick, for sure.
How about you, Matt?
You sprung this on me, so you
can go
first. Let me think.
Well, I think before I read the news, my mind kind of went to Gwendolyn Christine, the actress that plays Brienne of Tarth in Game of Thrones.
Ah, yeah.
Just because she seems like she handles it well. I also, when I started reading about it, the blog post I read had said that in preparation for Game of Thrones, she had taken classes and, you know, courses in like stage fighting and horse riding and a bunch of other stuff like that. So it seems like she would at least have the some of the core skills to play the part. Seems like it would be good.
She'd be great.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I still don't have an answer. Sorry.
It's all right. We can come back to it.
Yeah, we'll get back to it. We have tons of other things to get to, so we'll go on.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so something else that happened this week. Amazon announced Kindle Unlimited, which is a in the U.S. right now, it's like $10 a month for pretty much all you can eat, books and audiobooks. But I don't think it's everything.
No, that's not true.
What do you mean?
So it's all you can eat books and 3 months of audiobooks.
Oh, okay. What do you mean 3 months of audiobooks?
You get a free Audible subscription for 3 months.
Oh.
It is just books. And it's not, they tout their, I will say they have a lot of very large name books. You know, they've got Harry Potter and they've got Game of Thrones and all that stuff in there. But it is not their full Kindle library. It is
because
a limited...
there's some publisher battles going on right now as well.
Oh, yeah. There's some big publisher battles going on right now. Yeah. But yeah, so it's a limited version. I think it's a lot of books, but it's a limited version of their Kindle library. And this, so there's another company called Oyster that does the same thing, and it's like $8 or $9 a month, and you get unlimited reading. And I think their library is considerably smaller, but the same kind of deal. And then there's a thing called a library.
Yeah, you ever heard of the library?
For free.
I saw that joke circulating. It was hilarious. I'm like, you know what? That's absolutely true.
You know, I have to stop saying R. In this part of the woods where I am, the library will deliver books to you.
Yeah, they do that actually here in the boonies too.
Yeah, to
the
your door.
Truck comes by every day.
Yeah.
It's the coolest thing.
Well, not
thing.
Only that, a lot of them now have digital rentals. So you can go and check out a book digitally on your Kindle and read it.
Yes.
And then, like... return it like digitally, like you don't even have to really go to the library, I don't think, for some of them.
Yeah, pretty much the only trade-off is that sometimes you have to wait, which is like no big deal at all. You might have to wait a week or two for the number of digital subscriptions that they have to free up so that you can get one of the copies, but yeah, other than that, it's a pretty great system. On a sort of more on a like non-monetary level, some of the arguments I read is that, you know, for unlimited music, it is easier to consume a lot of music or TV or movies than it is to consume a lot of books, right? Because it takes a lot of time to read a single book, you know?
Absolutely.
I think this program really only, in my opinion, really only appeals to people that are like readers, people that consider themselves readers. They read a lot of books. Like, that's kind of their main hobby. Like, maybe this would work for you, but I don't know that it would work for someone like me who just kind of reads casually, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I know my dad's a voracious reader, and he was really excited about this.
Exactly.
He reads like, you know, a couple books a week, but like, you know, he's also retired, so it's easy to do. So.
Yeah, I think that I'm sure some people can find a deal out of this. I just, it annoys me that like we're out marketing libraries essentially at this point. It's a weird concept to be like, look at this new thing we did. And you're like, hasn't this existed since like the 1800s where this is there's a book repository. We have those already.
Sure.
Whereas a music and a movie repository, we don't really have as much. So that's why they were unique and amazing. But at the same time, like, I get it. And if you are like a voracious reader, and especially if you're already in Amazon's universe, like, it makes sense. You also get a free month of Prime, 3 free months of Audible. And I think that's it for $9.99.
Although I would continue to encourage our listeners to go to audibletrial.com/ratedNA.
For sure.
To get a free audiobook from there first.
That's right.
You know, just to see if you like it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the price goes, it seems fairly pricey considering that a year of Prime is $100 and a year of this would be
$120.
On top of that. Books. So you would pay $220 for... you know, access to music, movies, books, some audiobooks, you know, for a short amount of time, free shipping, you know, and so on. So I don't know. It's
definitely one of those, if you read a ton and you always read on your Kindle and you're annoyed with having to go find a book and buy it, or if you use the free month book and you know, read it in a week and you want something else.
Oh, from the Lending Library?
I get it. Maybe then this fits for your needs. But for me, I keep seeing these along with the Oyster thing, and I'm just like, I don't understand what is happening.
Maybe yeah. not everyone has access to a quality library system in their county.
Very true. I don't know. We all live kind of in cities and stuff. So
indeed. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next bit of news. There were some Microsoft announced that, you know, with the acquisition of Nokia, they're going to have some layoffs, the new CEO in place, and sort of in our realm where this impacts us is that the like Xbox Entertainment Studios, pretty much the arm of Xbox that was going to make the television programming, is being closed. So all of that stuff they talked about for original television programming 2 years ago, that's done, which is strange.
Yeah,
but they're still going to make the Halo television series, the one that I think is going to be sort of bundled up a little bit with the Master Chief Collection. Mm-hmm. And then the other game, Quantum Break, will not be affected by this as well, because if you guys remember, Quantum Break is going to be, it's a new game from Remedy. It's got kind of like that weird frozen time mechanic where you can investigate a crime scene.
I remember the trailer for that pretty well.
And I think the way I remember it is that things that you do in the game, there's going to be sort of a live action television show element that ties the game in this show together somehow. Sort of like in between, they kind of stagger with one another. Mm-hmm. So both of those things are happening, but as far as the other TV stuff goes, that's kind of gone.
And I do want to say that this is as sad as that is, that we're losing some things. This is like, the numbers were staggering. I think they're laying off like 18,000 people total at Microsoft.
Yeah.
It is a huge amount of people. So, you know, best of luck to everybody. I hope everybody lands on their feet, but it's crazy and scary. I know that this is a new Microsoft. They're trying to get a little bit leaner, trying to figure out how to keep up with Apple and Google and everybody else. So we're probably going to see a lot of this kind of change coming, but
on the gaming side as well, I think this also impacts some of the, I think it's like community teams or something that are in like Europe and the Asia territories, something like that. So,
oh wow,
yeah. Okay, so that's the Microsoft layoff. So the other thing that I kind of wanted to briefly bring up was that Ubisoft announced another free-to-play card game called Memories. And I thought this was strange because they already have a card game. But the old ones was like sort of a real-time card battling game called Recollection, which I like to call Recollection. Microtransactions. But this is kind of like the same thing. And then you better believe that there is a female in the concept art for this game.
Of course.
P.S.
Backtracking.
Yeah. And at this point, sort of the internet commentary reaction to this is what you might expect it to be, which is like, oh, really? Another free-to-play card game? Because now we've got tons of these, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not just talking about the big ones. You know, you have Hearthstone. There's Magic puts a game out every year. There's also a bunch of small games, things that are funded on Kickstarter. You know, card games. I think there is a card game or two from the original creator of Magic, and, you know, they make things. You can play, like, Ascension. There's digital versions of board games, and there's just tons of this stuff out there. And so it's just weird to see that they keep kind of pressing with these card games. But I guess that's kind of where the market is at this point. So you got to play in it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's like we say, there's a sort of like kids on a soccer field mentality to games sometimes, where something takes off and then every studio feels the need to have that, you know. Hearthstone's big, make a Hearthstone. And you're like, what? Yeah. No, like, make something else. Who cares?
I do think at this point it will be difficult to compete with Hearthstone, since they already have sort of a built-in base with people that play World of Warcraft. But I guess that, you know, you could argue the same case for Ubisoft and say, well, hey, there's a lot of Assassin's Creed fans in the world, and, you know, maybe they would like to enjoy a card game based on that IP, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
I'll also lump in the news, since we're talking about card games, that the Hearthstone expansion is coming out on July 22nd, the first chapter of that.
Naxxramas?
Yes. So I didn't see anything in the most recent news that indicated that the first wave of this expansion would be free, but that's what I had read previously. So all indications point to, hopefully, if you jump into this on July 22nd, the first wing of this expansion should be free.
So I need to save up 700 gold before the 22nd is what you're saying?
No. I think if you play this first wing of it within the first like week or month or something that it's available, you will have that wing. But then there are four more wings planned after that, which will be 700 gold, or you can buy them as a bundle for like $20.
Yeah.
And I guess there's supposed to be new cards and a new hero and stuff like that. So that is that news. Something that I follow still is Nintendo and Club Nintendo, which is their sort of loyalty reward system. So when you buy physical and digital games from Nintendo, which include hardware, you can register those titles on a website called Club Nintendo. And then as you build up points through registration and completing surveys, you can redeem those points for things like digital downloads. In the past, you can get things like a customized case for your 3DS or a customized case for game cards or special like Mario stylus or, you know, calendars and stickers and posters and stuff like that. So in the past, the Club Nintendo rewards have been pretty decent. So, you know, in the past, I've gotten like a little like Mario Brothers kind of statue, something that's like a piece that you can place on a bookshelf. And this year, they announced that all of the Club Nintendo rewards in the U.S. region will all be digital items, which is some people are like stoked on that and some people aren't, because a lot of the elite tier rewards. So there's two tiers of rewards. All the bottom tier are like Nintendo games, like NES titles to download. Right. All of the higher tier items are sort of more in the Super Nintendo range or like, you know, specific to the Nintendo eShop, like a downloadable title or something like this. And, you know, probably the best item out of the bunch is Earthbound, but that game you can purchase on the Nintendo eShop for like $10. So I think a lot of people feel a little betrayed by that. And then also in the European region, all of the items are physical items, but they're not really great. It's like a folder or pencils or, you know, school items almost, or like I don't even think there's a calendar. And then in Japan, it's a mixture of both, but not as good of both categories, you know? And it's more geared towards like Japanese kind of collectible audiences, if that makes any sense. So that's really unfortunate. I thought that with Nintendo trying to right the ship, that they would at least try to offer some kind of quality physical collectible for their U.S., you know, loyal customers, which is somewhat disappointing, but there you have it. So let's see. Next bit of news. Poor Nintendo. I hope they can get it together. I don't want to see Nintendo fail.
I don't either. It's not good for anyone. I think they just need to corner their own specific market and stick to what they're good at, you know?
Yeah, although...
We keep saying, just be Nintendo.
Yeah.
We're all okay with that.
And I think we did see that Mario Kart 8 topped the charts in June for physical game sales.
Did it really?
Yeah. If it wasn't at the top, it was in the top three.
Cool.
Which is,
well, that's
good for them. So maybe it's a sign of better days ahead.
It also could be because nothing fucking came out.
Yeah, I think, wasn't there something? I don't know.
Barely.
Yeah, good point. Anyways, Weird Al, you guys. You remember him.
Weird Al. He's over the internet this week.
Yeah, he is taking over the internet. I thought it was pretty smart what he did, too. He's releasing a music video every day for 8 days. So yesterday was the fifth day, so I think there'll be three more videos coming out right now. Something I wanted to call your attention to was he did a video parody for the song Fancy by Iggy Azalea called Handy, and it's all about, like, you know, being a handyman.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And if you watch the video, there are these weird scenes in the video shot on, like, green screen where he and two guys dressed in overalls are kind of, like, dancing in the background. And it immediately reminded me of the introduction to the Super Mario Brothers Super Show where, you know, Captain Lou Albano comes out and they kind of do, like, the little, like, 80s dance moves.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, if you listen to that song, the theme song to Super Mario Brothers Super Show, there's even the same kind of, like, tonality of the synthesized bass line as they're in the song Fancy.
What?
Yeah.
Conspiracy theory.
It's a conspiracy, so I really do hope that Weird Al has some knowledge.
You're the one person on Earth that would catch that.
No way!
The whole planet.
Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Everyone of our listeners is saying, what the fuck is he talking about?
Go watch the Handy video that he posted, and then go watch the Super Mario Brothers Super Show introduction, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
I think you should write an article, and you should have both of those embedded in the post, and then you should have a valid argument to defend your argument.
I did tweet to Weird Al to let him know if he didn't know already. I think he knows, and here's why. I think Weird Al is secretly or maybe not so secretly a super genius. And I've talked about this before, because if you happen to own a copy of UHF on DVD, you need to watch it with the commentary turned on, because he has like a one of those like savant memories, you know, like people that can tell you, you know, like what day of the week it was 10 years ago, like that kind of
yeah,
memory.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe it, watch. He put out a video for a parody of Blurred Lines called Word Crimes.
Yeah.
And he basically goes through like he basically drops knowledge on you that he knows a lot about the English language and grammar and sentence construction and you know, all the weird phrases of using language properly.
Yeah.
It's
I actually wish he had put that one out before Tacky.
Yeah.
Tacky's kind of like the classic Weird Al, where it's like a joke on no one kind of thing, you know, and,
yeah,
and just kind of like a goofball song.
But it's got all the celebrity cameos in it. I think that's why.
Yeah, I know. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Have you guys had a chance to watch any of the videos?
I haven't seen
Handy yet. I watched Tacky and Word Crimes, and I was going to watch Sports Game. What was it called?
Sports
Song. Yeah, I haven't watched that one yet either.
Sports Song is like a fake like fight song for like a high school team.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So anyways, Weird Al, he is back.
Weird Al. His album's out. It's kind of like he weirdly goes with the time though, you know, like he came out now. And so he just says, all right, I'm gonna put out a new video every day for free. You can listen to it. My album will be up like streaming everywhere. He was on like every podcast in the universe last
week. Fox Business News.
Yeah. It was ridiculous how many things he was doing. So it's pretty awesome. He's not the youngest dude in the world, and he's still cranking out the Weird Al tunes. So. Yeah,
everyone loves him too. Dude. He's supposed to be really nice and welcoming to his fans.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know. He did like one of like you know you saw the video for Tacky. It's kind of like a single shot style video.
Yeah, yeah.
He did kind of like a similar thing on Conan, where he's singing and walking through the backstage of Conan's set, and he's just very smart.
That was a very good episode of Conan, by the way, not to get off the track, but they did. That was the Tinder episode. Did anybody see that other than me?
No, I didn't watch that sketch.
Oh, so fantastic. He went with, was it Dave Franco, James Franco's little brother?
Okay.
He went on Tinder with him and tried to find dates for the two of them, but they used fake names and real pictures with fake names.
Uh-huh.
And in the thing, they would just say, like, people tell me I look like Conan O'Brien.
Oh.
And it was hilarious. Only one girl ended up agreeing to meet with either one of them. And she agreed to meet with Dave Franco, of course, and not Conan. And
uh-huh.
Conan gets, like, rejected by a 74-year-old woman. It's hilarious the whole way through. But that episode was great. Weird Al was on. And good times.
That's great. It's really good. So next bit of news. Man, tons of news.
Yeah.
The Destiny beta began on PS3 and PS4 and I think PC as well.
Mm-hmm. But not like, Xbox.
Yeah, gee, thanks a lot. Timed exclusives.
Yeah.
As to be expected, PSN was a little rocky on the launch of the Destiny beta, but then so was Xbox Live, oddly enough.
Yeah, I couldn't watch Supernatural, man. Couldn't get on my Netflixes.
Tell me about it, dude. That's one thing that pissed me off, where it was like, so wait a second, I can't sign into Xbox Live, but then I also can't watch Netflix or Hulu. Nothing.
You're not on the internet. And I was like, yes, I am. And
yeah.
Then I hit like check my internet connection. It was like, yep, you're on the internet. And I was like, okay, cool. Play. Like, you're not on the internet. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah. I thought maybe you had the same thought too. And what I noticed about the Xbox UI is that the troubleshooting information is just ever so slightly skewed to be accusatory towards the user.
Oh yeah. It absolutely
like it's
is.
Your fault. It's like, oh, your internet connection seems to be having trouble. And mm-hmm. it's like, no, I think it's your internet connection that seems to be having trouble.
Like Dick. the moment it finds out, it should be able to know that you're connected to the internet, but not be able to connect to Xbox Live, and it should go, oh, you're connected, it seems like something's wrong with Xbox Live, but that is not the case. At any point in time did it say, hey, Xbox Live seems down, maybe give it a minute. Instead it was just like, you're not connected, and I'm like, yes, I am, I'm doing other things on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a rocky night, but we don't know why. That wasn't Destiny related though, right?
No, I'm gonna create a conspiracy theory right now and say that something
like Sony started going down, so they went after, they just like DOS'd Xbox Live so that they wouldn't look so bad at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Or you know, like the rumors that, you know how like there's rumors that like iCloud runs on like a Microsoft server backend, like a cloud backend or something.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm just gonna create conspiracy theory and say that like Sony's PSN also runs on the Microsoft cloud backend. In my, you know, in my, you know, just a theory that I'm throwing out there that, like,
sure,
that's why Xbox Live went down as well, because secretly PSN, I mean, really, where is Sony's network infrastructure? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Amazon, Google, and Microsoft all have significant cloud infrastructures, right?
True.
So what is Sony's cloud infrastructure? Do they have one? They must be licensing someone.
They have four overworked employees in Japan
right.
that have one server sitting there, and they're just like, three of them, all they do is blow on it to keep it cool enough to keep running, and then the other guy is constantly typing on a keyboard just to keep up all the data transfer between them.
It's like old school Nintendo. They're like pulling out the server blades and blowing on them, sticking them back in again, like, ready to go.
Imagine it being a very sweaty place that smells.
Guys, I gotta tell you, I am still nervous about Destiny.
Yeah,
I watched.
I'm loving it. I'm watching our Twitter feed, and people are flipping their lids.
I watched. Yeah, I watched like 2 hours of it on Twitch yesterday, like from various people playing the game, and it just like it. If I had never played Borderlands, I would think that this game is probably amazing. But I have played Borderlands, and this to me looks a lot like Borderlands, but without the humor or like kind of the poppy art style, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I am still nervous about, like, I want to play the beta. I want to play it with you guys. And I think playing together would be fun. But on that same note, we could probably play any game together and have a great time.
Probably.
So we're just going to have to wait and see.
Back to Star Wars Galaxies, I say.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah. I think they closed that, actually.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone. Okay, so in our last bit of news, something that I know that we are all excited for, Miklos Studio announced Out There Omega Edition.
Yay!
Which is like sort of in the same way that FTL created a advanced edition.
Yeah.
Out There is going to have an expanded edition as well, and I am so excited for this.
The game's great.
Yeah,
nice
dude.
There's dudes really in the world making great games.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. So new aliens, a new ship. Multiple new ships, a new ending,
profound space sadness.
Yeah, I wrote more profound space sadness. Yeah,
that is like one of the darkest, like, you know, it's very broody, that game, but it's in a good way. I mean, you know, it definitely captures the feeling like of being in space all alone,
like in the movie Moon. They took that and made a game out of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm just so excited.
Is there any date on this?
They have now, no, there's no date that has been announced at this time, but I think they're going to do this. The game will be coming out. I think they're trying to bring the game to PC with this new expanded edition. From what I understand, if you already own a copy of the game on, you know, iOS or Android, you will be upgraded for free.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I think they were showing off the PC version at PAX, right?
Yes.
They had that running, and and this is what they were talking about working on, I think, at the time.
Right. I don't think they had the Omega Edition running on PC, but they just their base game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the guys, the creator, they're going to write, like, I think I read there's going to be something like 50 new, like, game segments that he's going to write as well. So I think
awesome.
That's going to, it's going to add a lot of variety to the sort of, like, roguelike, choose-your-own-adventure style aspect of this game.
Yeah, that's a great game.
Yeah, so we'll end on a high note today, you guys, and we'll and then we'll so why don't we'll take a little break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about Squid's Odyssey for the 3DS and Guardians of the Galaxy: The Universal Weapon on mobile.
Right. I like that you almost got Nate to Google Goatsy, by the way, on Twitter. That was pretty amazing.
It's just a cute goat.
It's just a cute goat. It's
just a cute baby goat.
I was going to write that we had talked about making a Goatsy game. Remember we were going to make one that had images that you had to pull, you had to find the Goatsy and pull it apart?
Yes. Oh, God. The game operation. Like, don't touch the sides. You'll make a bleed.
Boy.
So, all three of us played a game called Guardians of the Galaxy, The Universal Weapon. I picked this game up kind of randomly. I've been playing a lot of tablet games because I've been up in the boonies. And I don't know. I've been enjoying playing on the tablet. So I saw this and I saw that it was, it had no in-app purchases, and I saw that it had no internet connection you get to play. And I said, that's a great plane game, and I'm going to be flying again in a couple days. So I'm like, I'll pick it up.
This game needed no further description on the iTunes marketplace other than the first line written in all caps.
Yes. Okay. If you are a game developer and you're developing something for the tablet, here's my advice to you. Don't put in-app purchases in there, and don't require an internet connection, because that way we can play your fucking game while we are traveling.
Yeah.
Which is important if you have a mobile game, to make your game actually mobile. So,
clever.
Yes, make it actually mobile. So what did you guys, why did you guys get this game? Because I know why.
Because you guys got it and you wrote a line down that says no in-app purchases and no internet connection required to play. And I was like, okay. And then I went and looked. And I was like, $5? Sure. And I bought it.
Yeah. I kind of did exactly the same thing. I saw that this game was available, and I was really sort of disappointed with other sort of games in this same, I don't know, they're not exactly the same, but you know, games like the Star Wars card,
IP-based games, if you will.
Yes, the IP-based games. So even, you know, as cool as like Dragon Age was, like, I didn't want to spend any money on it. And as cool as the Star Wars game was, the amount of money that you would have to spend on that game for it to make any sense was way too high.
Yeah.
So when I saw that this game was just like, hey, it's $5, no in-app purchases, no internet connection, you can just play this game, I was like, yeah, I'm willing to take a chance on this game, because, you know, I'm stoked for the movie. I don't know anything about the comics, but you guys told me that it's great. So
yeah,
why not?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I get a little nervous about these games, because I always fear that they're going to tell me jokes or things from the movie that I don't want to know yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But I don't feel like that was the case here. It's just kind of a fun beat 'em up.
Yeah. I mean, the general mechanic for the game is pretty simple. You control four members of the Guardians of the Galaxy, and you can swap them out.
It's just an 8-stick controller, so you just have to move your thumbs around to 8 different sticks to control it, right?
Yeah.
No. you just click on the character you want to move, and you click somewhere on your little map, and your character moves to that location, and then you click on the enemy you want to attack, and they attack that. But some people are sort of like strikers, some are shooters, some characters can heal. So there is a little bit of strategy I'm kind of discovering. You know, you kind of create like a formation of your characters, and you have like, at this point, I have like Groot healing my team, and then I have Drax in the front kind of hacking people up, and Star-Lord in the back shooting people. Then you get different unlocks where you can unlock combos, which I think is pretty cool and innovative. So if like you have Drax, I think, and like Gamora together, you can hit a button and Drax and Gamora will do a combo together. And same with like Groot and Rocket Raccoon. So I think there is, you know, there's a, not, I wouldn't say a lot under the hood here, but there's definitely something going on that's fun.
Well, the real point I was trying to make is that we have a mobile developer. This is put out by Marvel, but they don't in-house make games. So somebody made this game. But we have a mobile developer who thought, okay, we're making a tablet game. Let's not require internet, and let's make the controls something that people naturally do on a tablet, which is like click a spot, drag to another spot, and click another spot. Like, it just, to me, I'm like, oh my God, the reason I'm enjoying it is because it's clearly just made for a tablet and plays well on the tablet. You know, like, everything that you should do that it seems brainless, but then never seems to happen with these games.
Yeah, this game works. It works in the same way that a game like Combo Crew works from the Game Bakers. Mm-hmm. Is that they set out to make a game that works on the tablet and not try to shoehorn in some other kind of game mechanic like the virtual sticks that everybody loves so much. Yeah.
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 So, but yeah, I agree that there is a bit of strategy here, a lot more than I expected. At first, you start off and it's really kind of vanilla. You know, you're doing the basic moves and you're like, okay, I mean, I get it, but this seems pretty simple. And they do ratchet up the difficulty over time, and then you can start pulling off combos, and it's fun. A little segmented play, so it's not like you have to sit down and play for an hour or anything like that. It's kind of like, you know, was it probably like 3-5 minute levels, maybe three
a
or five
a level could level. Take like literally 30 seconds
or 30 seconds.
Yeah, they're quick. Well, I do like that there are, like, your characters level up. You can have skills that you distribute, and there's loot, and you can equip your characters with different items that you find, and you can buy stuff. And so, you know, there's a lot that you can actually, you know, you could probably spend a whole flight, a 4-hour flight playing this game and play it the whole time, you know, as long as your battery stayed intact, which I think is pretty cool. That's sort of like when I buy mobile games, I'm like, all right, can I take this on the plane with me? Am I going to get sick of it in 45 minutes, right, or can I keep playing this? And I can see myself playing this for quite a long time and still enjoying it.
There's a ton of characters to unlock. It was like 25, at least 25 characters.
Yeah, it's a lot for sure. Yeah.
And it definitely carries the sense of humor of the comic and what I think the movie is going to be.
There's a story, right?
Yeah.
There's a little comic
story.
Book.
And, but there's even little things like, did you guys read the hints when they're like flashing through the screen? They put hints up.
No,
I don't think I did.
So like when you were downloading the game, and I think through different loading screens, they throw up these little hints underneath the thing, but they're just basically jokes like over and over and over again. And there's a bunch of different ones that, like, you know, it's unknown who writes these hints. And then they wrote something about Groot. And then every once in a while, I'll just say, "I am Groot" in all capital letters. Like, they're just like a bunch of like little insidey kind of comic book jokes, but they're, but they're funny. And it's like, to me, I'm like, that's what this should be, is like just a funny beat-em-up game, you know?
It all just kind of works. I'm trying to go through each level like to completion. You have to kind of like, if you want to complete every level, there's three tiers, and you almost need to kind of level up the levels to finish them. And I think you have to play each level maybe 5 or 6 times to max it out or whatever. And so I'm only in the first world, and I thought the game was pretty easy, but then I went into the arena. Have you guys tried the arena yet?
No, I have not.
It's like a horde mode where you just fight waves and waves of enemies. And I got I barely made it through like wave 7 or something like that, because they really do, like, for anyone that is picking up this game, if you start playing the game and you find that it's easy and you're like leveling up too quickly, just go to the arena and you'll see that, yes, the difficulty does ratchet up, and your strategy and the items that you equip and sort of the gems that you combine and socket onto your characters will become important later on.
The kind of style and humor of the game and the way it plays so well reminded me of is it Castle Doombad?
Yeah.
Same kind of sense of humor, same kind of like works because they made it the right way for a tablet kind of game, you know, like same kind of art, like fun cartoony art. Like the two games have totally different styles, like totally different play styles, but because they're different games, but had the same kind of like feel to me when I was playing it. Just a really enjoyable, like you said, Ash, a really enjoyable game that you could just sit down and play for a while and, you know, have a good time. And it's not like, doesn't require much of you other than paying attention and swiping and having fun. I will say the game is $5 right now on the market. I don't know how much it was when you guys bought it, but
yeah,
it's $4.99. And the point I was going to make is sometimes things cost money, guys, that are good.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Yeah. We don't need all of our mobile games to be free. We can pay a little bit for them. It's all right.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I would much rather pay for something and find out that I don't like it than to get a game that's free to play and just make myself continue playing it because of a sunk cost fallacy or something like that. So,
right.
Anyways.
But yeah, Game of Groans. Wow, I almost said it. Guardians of the Galaxy, the Universal Weapon. I've really been enjoying it, so I'm glad you guys hipped me to it before the podcast.
Is this on, I know this is on iOS. Is this on Android yet, or did you get it on your iPad?
I got it on my iPad, yeah.
Okay. So, cool.
I will say that I did see a couple, I don't know if you guys saw this, every once in a while when the screen got really loaded up, I would start getting some like visual hiccups. Did you get that at all?
I got that as well.
Yeah, it's probably going to be like a bug fix at some
patch. Yeah, because if you look at the character list, there's a couple of coming soon character spots.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to imagine that there will be future updates for this game. How do you guys feel? I know this is just a game, but do you feel like it's faithful to the source material?
Yeah. More to the movie, I think, than the comics.
Oh, okay.
But there were
a couple of characters that I don't think are going to be in the movie that were that I saw that were selectable, like Mantis and stuff. Like Mantis is just from the books. I don't think she's necessarily in the
movie.
I guess I mean sort of in terms of the look and feel and the, you know, the enemies and stuff like that.
No, I mean, it's definitely like a simplified kind of kiddie version, but the characters have abilities, I think, that they actually have in the books and in the show. I mean, they're not making like Gamora shoot lasers out of her eyes, which used to piss me off with comic book video games. So, I mean, people do what they do. Like Groot can regenerate and fight, and Rocket has a rocket, and she has machine guns. And so I think it's cool. I mean, for a mobile title, if you're excited about Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, I think you should definitely check it out.
Great. So the last thing that I wanted to do today is just talk a little bit about Squid's Odyssey, since I've had some more time to sit down and play it. So, you know, we've talked about Squid's in the past, and Squid's Odyssey is a game that started, or Squid's started out on mobile devices. It's made by the Game Bakers, who we like a lot. And they released two games, Squid's and Squid's Wild West. And so with Squid's Odyssey, they rolled up all of that content and then put that on the 3DS and the Wii U, and then added a new character and some new hats and a new campaign as well. And I'm really having fun with it, which is saying a lot since I, you know, played both of the titles on the mobile device. And now that I'm playing it on the 3DS, I wondered how I even played it on the mobile device in the first place, because I think the addition of the physical controls adds a lot to the gaming experience. And I think the fact that, you know, I don't know if you've ever played Squid's or seen it, but it has kind of a slingshot sort of angry birds mechanic, you know? Mm-hmm. So the levels are actually very complicated, and it's very easy to sort of fling one of your characters off the ledge and lose them for the remainder of the battle. So your precision is really important, and that's why it's so cool to be able to use a stylus to be able to attack the enemies and navigate some of the more difficult levels in the game. And then, you know, just having the physical buttons makes it easier to do things like view the map and like get back through your inventory and do stuff like that too. So, for anyone that hasn't had a chance to check it out, I wrote an article. It's on nerdappropriate.com. You can see a little bit more about what Squid's Odyssey is all about. And it's kind of like, you know, in the same vein as, you know, we were talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. They set out to make a game that worked on a mobile platform, and it certainly does work on a mobile platform. You know, like the iPad, and bringing it to the 3DS with sort of more enhanced functionality, I think, is a natural step. And I think for the amount of content that they have in this downloadable title, there's something like 50 missions in the game, and maybe like 10 to 15 different characters. The same idea. You set out with a party of four, and you can rotate characters in and out based on your play style. They all have, you know, there's four classes of characters, so you can decide, you know, what the best mix of those characters are based on the objectives of the level and the enemies that appear and stuff like that. So it, on the surface, it looks like it's very simple, like a kid's game. But once you start getting into the nuts and bolts, as you say, there's sort of a lot going on under the hood in terms of upgrading and customization using items and stuff like that. So Squid's Odyssey, I think it's great. If you have a 3DS or a Wii U, it should definitely be considered as part of your game library, and again, another game that could be played on a, you know, on a plane for hours at a time.
Awesome.
So I know those guys, I was tweeting back and forth with the Game Bakers a couple weeks ago trying to find out if they're going to be at PAX, because they're really fun to talk to, and I don't think they're coming to PAX this year, but they did say that they're working on something really big. They can't announce what it is yet, but they have a new title kind of in the works, you know, post Combo Crew. So we'll definitely be seeing more from the Game Bakers. And, you know, they're definitely, with Miklos, they're one of our favorite French studios. So
yeah,
keep your eye on the Game Bakers.
I think I read that they're working on a comic for Squid's and maybe even a kids like television series.
I heard about the television series, but I know what they were talking about with me was definitely a game. I don't know for what platform yet. But.
Nice. That's really exciting. And I know we've told this story before, but like the first time we met them in person at PAX East,
it
was like hilarious.
It was.
Remember where we met them in the concourse, and like our second day or third day? And we were just kind of like
haggard, disgusting, tired. Yeah.
Yeah. We met them in one of the hallways, and they're like, "Oh, so sorry. We just stepped off the plane. You know, we must be disgusting." And they're like, suit and tie, like, you know, scarf, like,
yeah,
French people,
totally.
Yeah,
like, yeah, amazing,
just looking glamorous. And we're like, yeah, you look gross.
You
right
guys
now,
even
for sure.
Smell amazing.
I know. We love those guys. I hope we can meet up with them again soon.
Yeah, for sure. They're cool
in a future event. So thanks to the Game Bakers again.
For sure.
Yeah. All right.
Well, is that Ash. Are we done?
We did
it out.
Yeah. Crazy. So
we just had a lot to talk about this week.
I know. Thank you guys for listening to episode 162 of the Rated NA podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, and that's at NerdAppropriate. We will be at Comic-Con probably when you are listening to this. So definitely follow our Twitter feed, and we'll be doing Comic-Con updates. And we're going to try and use our Instagram a little bit more.
Yes.
This time. So we need to have a group powwow about that.
The Instagram is also NerdAppropriate as well.
It is. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We don't use it all that often, so we're going to try and do that. And you can email us directly, and that is Ash, Matt, Hillary, and Scott at nerdappropriate.com. And, of course, Facebook/NerdAppropriate. And we have a Facebook page with some updates there as well. Thank you, guys. And we will see you from Comic-Con.
Yeah, good luck at Comic-Con this week, you guys. Have fun.
Thank you. I'm already tired.
See ya.
Been raining here for like 3 days straight.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it's like overcast and drizzly.
It's just sunny out here. A little overcast. And that was the weather hour with Nerd Appropriate.
Enjoy your weekend. Afternoon showers with a chance of bright sunlight and
chance of bright sunlight.
Yeah. Keep it tuned to Local 3 all weekend. We'll be tracking the storms for you.